This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 286 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So, as I ask, or try to remember to ask most weeks, are there any announcements?
I don't think so.
I can't think of any. The show's still in hiatus. No casting updates yet. Nothing about B's publication date. So, yeah, I think we're golden.
Have you heard about the revolution in online furniture shopping? And Joybird, the company behind it all? Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings, and that you should always have the freedom to be boldly original. From idea to reality, they empower you to create the space and furniture that brings you joy.
With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options, from mid-century modern to contemporary classics, customizable in an amazing array of fabric choices, from rich buttery leather and plush velvets to every color imaginable. Wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options available. And free personal design consultants to help nail down your perfect design.
Joybird offers quality, handcrafted furniture. Each of their pieces is made by hand with care and precision using high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. Limited lifetime warranty included.
See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy. Today at joybird.com/outlander. Go to joybird.com/outlander and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Outlander.
And now on to our read along. This week, we will be continuing our The Fiery Cross read-along with Chapter 2, entitled Loaves and Fishes.
Erica B. writes, with the chapter name Loaves and Fishes, instantly I think Jesus, or at least Christianity, and feeding the flock. I am just not sure which we'll get. Maybe both.
Maybe she's trying to evoke how all of us feel while reading The Fiery Cross. Yeah, which is Jesus.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Summer.
Finish the gathering.
Oh, gracious. Okay. I started my notes with the final day of the gathering continued. Exactly. And I have a thought that this may not be the first time I write continued. We shall see. Archie Hayes has encouraged his soldiers to disperse and, quote, make friends. Among the attendees. No, not really. That's my wording. The soldiers, however, seem to welcome this opportunity to chat with others from their shared homeland, of course, because they are a regiment that is from Scotland. Now, Claire sees Marsley, and Lizzie, that's two people, not four, making a fuss over the soldier who'd rescued Germain from the creek. Remember that? Like two episodes ago? Because we shared an interview last week. Germain, like a little, not tyrant, but a little toddler or little boy that he is, you know, getting in trouble, running away from his parents, falls into a creek and one of the soldiers rescues him by at least takes him out of the creek. Now, Fergus was scolding Germain en français, naturellement. And looking around, Claire's like, no Roger or Bree to be seen. But she does see Abel McLennan. And remember that from the last chapter, which is 2 weeks ago, either it came from Jamie or it may have come from Claire. But anyway, it came from either our narrator or someone else, obviously, that Abel McLennan was one of the ones definitely who'd taken part in the Hillsborough riots. So there's Abel McLennan there, and Jamie was there too. But see, Jamie already knew that Lieutenant Hayes was looking for him. Jamie does not seem to be in any, like, rush. Claire's like, because Claire sees a private there as older, and she's like, Jamie, don't you want to go over? And Jamie's like, nah, I'm good.
I'm pretty sure she used actual words.
I think she did too. Jamie then introduces Claire to Private Andrew Ogilvie of Kilburnie. And through a chit chat, they find out that their regiment, so at least this regiment that's there at the gathering this day, is on its way home. It will be disbanding soon. And he says, with the French and native populations, quote, settled and safe, there's not much for them to do. Like, they did what they were brought over to do. And theirs is actually the last of the Crown's regular troops to go home. Marsley asks if, quote, England meant to leave them unprotected, unquote. And Ogilvie assures her, oh, no, it's quite safe. Mm-hmm. And then Lizzie... LOL. I mean, there's so much to laugh at. I mean, Diana Gabaldon gives us a lot to laugh at in general, even in some of, maybe not, like, if it's a very touching or, like, life-threatening scene, we're not going to laugh 50% of the time. No. But this is a pretty light, it has potential, all of it has potential of the troops, potential of someone, you know, arresting someone, potential of someone getting killed later on or being taken away. There's a lot of potential drama in this. And there's drama. There's potential danger in this chapter. Don't get me wrong. I think pretty much most chapters of Diana Gabaldon. However, I would say I laughed about 70% of this episode. That's interesting. Of this chapter. Mm-hmm. We shall see how the episode goes. So, Mars. That's three people. Marsley asks if England meant to leave them unprotected, and Ogilvie's like, nah, it's pretty safe, actually. And then Lizzie, here's the LOL, pops up from peeling potatoes. How's that for alliterative? And asks, quote, have you not thought perhaps to stay then? Unquote.
She's so boy hungry.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah, it gets more. Because, yeah, suddenly overnight, right? Apparently, Lizzie has turned into a little bit of a coquette. Quote,
apparently she got her period.
Well, we're not there yet. I mean, we are, but let me write this. I'm not going to write this. Quote, the private looked down at her, white kerch modestly bent over her work, and his color deepened again. Then her own face slightly flushes after he responds. She says, quote, ah, well, it's a great pity that you should go away so soon. I'm not even going to try it. Away so soon. Still, we'll not send you away in an empty stomach. And the private goes still pinker. And then they exchange glances again. Jamie coughs and leads Claire away and says, quote, and she's been a woman less than a full day, too. Have you been given her lessons, Sassenach, or are women just born with it? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So I wrote, Lizzie is a woman.
You know, this reminds me of my daughter. And actually, I didn't have my first period someplace exciting.
Exciting?
Well, I mean...
Dramatic?
Think about it. You're off on a family trip. There's no plan for it. You know, everyone had to... I mean, Claire had to sacrifice her petticoats to take care of stuff. But it does remind me of the time that I unexpectedly got my period at Disneyland. That was a terrible way to spend a day at the happiest place on earth.
Was that in high school?
Yes, it was.
Was it during our tour?
Yep.
Tell me more. I don't remember this.
I mean, you need to know more than that. I mean, I don't think that we need to go into any more detail.
No, not
than
like
that.
Details, but I mean, like, were you on a ride? Were you in the restroom? How did you find out?
When I went to the bathroom.
Well, okay, duh.
I mean,
you weren't wearing white, right?
No, I don't wear white now.
I just mean that back then, did you?
No.
Okay. No. And you didn't have any supplies?
No, I had nothing.
Who did you get supplies from?
I'm pretty sure I had to put a quarter in a machine because the machines used to still
me?
Do stuff then. Yeah.
You didn't have any friends?
No, I had to use a Disneyland tampon.
I wonder if it's branded.
It has ears and everything.
Summer. No, Mickey, it has a Mickey skirt on it. I don't know. A Mickey? A Minnie. Sorry.
I don't want Mickey up
there. Oh my goodness. I remember mine, and that's all I'll say. Okay, so, and that, as Summer said, Lizzie is a woman, and that is why Claire has no petticoat. It's part of it. Obviously, part of it was the babies and everything. But it was like, once you have Lizzie coming in, she's like, nope, that's it. Let's just take the whole thing. No more strips. Just take it off.
I won't have anything left. Because she's like, she didn't want to like make her feel bad by offering her diapers.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because then could you imagine?
Oh, Lord. Erica B writes, okay, regarding Claire, because Jamie's like, what, do you guys just like suddenly turn into, you know, is it like a talent? Like, it just, have you been giving her lessons or are you guys just born with it? And I wrote,
it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, Erica B writes regarding this. Ah, here we get a glimpse of what may come for Lizzie now that she's a woman. Teenage hormones are strong with this one. Yeah, thank. Mm. And y'all will appreciate that in a book or two or three. I don't know. We'll see.
They're definitely not going to film that.
Wait, this scene?
Yeah, the Lizzie that they've cast is way too old to have her first period.
Fair enough. I'm like, they have to keep the other part, but maybe not this part.
I mean, she's still going to be boy crazy, but I'm just saying she doesn't need to have
a very fair and nice way of putting it.
She doesn't need to have her period to be boy crazy. Those things are not mutually exclusive.
Jamie leaned over Claire's shoulder to wipe a finger around the top of the honey pot. And as he does so, Erica B. Exactly. Sorry. Erica B. writes, this is too much information. I can't read honey pot in this series and think cleanly. Except further down, it is an actual honey pot they are talking about, but it does put a spin on interpretation until you get there. Okay, back to the real story. Jamie is convinced that Archie Hayes and the regiment, leaving so soon, doesn't really care much about getting this information back to Tryon about the riots. Not about the riots, but about people who took part in the riots. Jamie doesn't think Hayes actually wants to chat with him about the riots, though. For the time, he's going to turn their whiskey into things they need, so he wants to go barter. Who is to see them but John Quincy Myers? He's come to collect Jamie for a matter over near where the McGillivrays are.
It's about to get real, y'all.
It's about to get real, like, real funny. Robin McGillivray is married to Uta. So John Quincy Myers takes Jamie, and Claire's like, hold my beer. Claire, like, real quick, grabs her medicine box and, like, runs after them, thinking, oh, gosh, what's going on? So John Quincy Myers takes Jamie. Claire grabs her box and follows. And they go over to where the McGillivrays are. And Robin McGillivray is there. Uta, his wife, has asked him to take care of the thief taker who'd grabbed her son. And this thief taker had said about their son that he, the son, was one of the ones involved in Hillsborough. And that this thief taker was going to take him to jail. Uta was like, please help. Okay, so all of this was relayed by John Quincy Myers. And this is where we're like, okay, bye, see ya. And we're off. Jamie Claire's leaving Germain with Marsley. Okay, Erica B. writes, Germain scowled fiercely under his blonde fringe and took a firm grip on his stick, settling himself to defend the camp. Oh my gosh, this has to be the cutest thing to see with his little, wee papa. Only robots would smile at the adorable thought of this image. Oh my gosh.
Is that commentary on me?
Huh?
Only robots wouldn't smile.
Maybe. Look, if the shoe fits, girl. Claire telling Ogilvy that it's all good. Like, it's all good. Blah, 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 and grabs her emergency kit and follows after. Okay. Now we're up to speed. Let me just say, before we go down this road, that I can't with Uta. I do not and will not make fun of people for the pronunciation, except myself, for the pronunciation of things, especially if they are second language learners, non-native speakers, but she slays me from wer ist das, which of course means who is that? Because she's very wary of these strangers whom John Quincy Myers is bringing over to help them. She says, wer ist das? And then, you brung me den Jamie, oder? Oh my gosh. So I think what's funny is not her pronunciation of any English. What's funny is her mixture of German and English. And then, of course, even when her English, a lot of her English is actually not bad, but when her English is correct, even, it's German word order sometimes. And that makes me laugh. It's just
because we call that Jerglish.
Turklish or Angman.
That's not nearly as much fun because that sounds like narrow man.
Oh, okay. So how did I never, you brung me den Jamie, oder? I mean, this mix, like it, Summer, I was almost crying today. It was so funny. Like, how did I never catch this line before? Quote. Oh, and then here's Claire's, Diana's through Claire's very amazing description of Ute. Quote, Ute McGillivray looked like a Valkyrie on a starchy diet. Tall, very blonde, and broadly powerful. Unquote.
She's a badass, man.
Oh, you do not want to mess with her.
No, she was only disappointed that they weren't someplace more private so that she could have just killed the dude privately.
Or that she could have mounted Jamie, exactly.
No, why did you go there? No, not about that.
Okay, well, that comes up later. But yeah, she's definitely, first and foremost, is she's a mama and definitely looking after her, looking out for her kids.
She is a Mrs. Lovett.
Oh, Lord.
She's a Sweeney Todd, Mrs. Lovett.
Oh, there. Okay. So she calls Jamie mein Herr, and Herr is not just a mister. It actually means my lord. Like in German, if you say, like, if you're speaking to my lord and you say, like, as in like God or Jesus or whoever God you were, whichever God you worship, the word is Herr. Herr literally means lord. So she calls him Jamie, my lord. And then we meet Manfred, and she says, mein Lady. Mm. Like, it's so good. And she goes, she says, ist kein bother. Ich hab den wee ball of shite safe put. Mm-hmm. But only we want to know how we best in corpus hide.
Exactly. How do we get rid of the body?
I think it's pretty, almost all of that, I think is pretty clear. It is no bother. Ist kein. I have put the wee ball of shite, like I kept him safe basically, and then the rest of it den corpus, yeah, from Latin corpus, of course, it literally means body. Yeah, and then we learn through his use of McDo and his mention of Ars Mirror, of course, that Robin, they call him Robbie here, but later it's Robin McGillivray was one of his Ars Mirror men. And then we see three teenaged girls, Uta's daughters, meine lassies.
Mm-hmm. She's married to a Scotsman. That's probably where she learned English. I don't know why you're so shocked every time she says something.
I'm not shocked. It's adorable. It's like, okay, my second language combined with my favorite, I guess, English dialect. It is, I love it. So, of course, the Valkyrie's daughters' names are Hilda, Inge, and Senge.
Okay, so real quick, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on this podcast, but I know you and I have personally talked about it.
Four other ones?
No. Okay. I know that you and I have personally talked about it, but I believe after the United States, the country that has the most, that Outlander is the most popular in is Germany, correct?
Wait, you mean like the books?
Yeah, because, and then also, like, tourism from Germany to Scotland is huge. There's, like, you will run into Germans all day long. So I just think, I don't know if, I'm sure it's not an homage to that. That's not the reason that this German woman is in there or that she's, you know, married a Scotsman. But I'm sure that all of her German readers definitely, like, enjoy Ute.
I hope so, because she is, yeah, you don't want her not as your friend. But she is definitely a force. So Hilda, Inge, and Senge, actually, they were all sitting on a dead log. And then Claire, quote, noticed some disturbance taking place under the skirt of the oldest girl, unquote. There was someone under the girls. And of course, it was the thief taker. He was bound and gagged.
Now, was that like a bounty hunter?
That's a good question. I think he was definitely hired. Because he wouldn't do it. Like, who is he gonna? Even if he had a mind to do it on his own, he still has to find out, like, the identity of someone who would have been there. You know what I mean? So I think my guess is it's like along the lines of a bounty hunter. Yeah. Then Ute joins in with getting after that man. She calls him a Zhao Kerl, which is literally like, I mean, this is not a direct translation, but like Zhao is a female pig. Mm-hmm. And Kerl is like just like a bad dude. A missed cat. Oh, no, that's different. But yeah, so like a pig effer, not literally an effer, but just like a pig, but not anatomically. Shut up. Anatomically. Is that correct? Not physically, no, not biologically.
Anatomically.
Oh, fudge.
Anatomically.
Thank you. So not anatomical, but well, I have to take that out anyway, so that's not helpful. Not anatomically speaking. So, and then she turns to Jamie. We get more of her. So, mein Herr, how are we to kill him best?
Exactly.
That was actually the most English she put together. Now, what were her ideas? To butcher him wie ein Schwein. So like a pig, yep. Literally.
You know, like it's like she saw fried green tomatoes and just, you know, wanted to barbecue. That's the way to get rid of a problem. You put it in the barbecue. Wait, is that spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Fried Green Tomatoes? Spoiler alert.
I only care about this book. And this series right now on this show. So she says, you know, to butcher him wie ein Schwein, but that would be too much blut. Deloitte, this is the best line, I think. But that would be too much blut. Deloitte will schmell. Now that is one of her only, besides like pronouncing a W like a V, that's one of her only German-ish pronunciations of an actual English word. Most of her English is actually pronounced maybe with an accent on the audiobook, but it's actually English and her German is German. So besides some word order or placement, it's a mixture of the languages. But if it's a German, she says it in German, it's a proper German word. And smell is the proper English word, but it's a German pronunciation. So that is not an outlier. That's an low frequency here. She doesn't do that a lot here. So that had me like doubling over. So they have an as if chat about methods to ... and then asks how he got there. Like, how did this man like even get here? What's going on? Well, they were camped a bit away, but they came to watch the heavies. So the heavy sports, the caber tossing, etc. And this man, this thief taker, came and grabbed Freddy Manfred. So his sisters grabbed him and hit him. Ute says, they are gut, strong Mädchen, meine Lassies. Wie kommen sie hier, die Wettkämpfer? So she's saying, my lassies, my girls are good and strong. We come here to see the competitors, the competitors. Maybe choose a husband for a daughter. She goes, hey, da hat einen Mann already promised. Mm-hmm. I can't. Ute gives Jamie an eyeful. Then to Claire, Ute says, he is fine. Big, your man. You have sons, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The thief taker brought attention back to himself, and he's pleading for his life. He says he's, quote, delivering a criminal to justice. And they go after him, the girls do. Actually, probably more than the girls. And Jamie yells, Ruhe! Or silence. Now, Jamie takes the dudes. So, the thief taker, Fergus, who else is there? John Quincy Myers and Manfred, I think. No, not Manfred. Robbie. To the creek, just a little bit away. And Claire stays with Ute and her daughters. They say that he was at their son. Her son, Manfred, was at Hillsborough, but didn't take part in any kind of riot. He went to have a harness mended and was caught up in the mob. And Claire's thinking, oh, this might not all be true. But Ute says she will take care of that man if Jamie can't. Why can't she just go to the sheriff? Claire asks. Hilda explains that the thief taker had come up on them in front of her, or had approached them in front of her fiance's family and others. If he had taken him and actually made a scene, the scandal would have broken her engagement. And Ute is determined. Quote, I will have meine lassies well wed. I find good men für sie. Find big men, mit Land, mit money, nicht wahr, Liebchen. So that literally is, I will have my lassies well wed. I will find good men for them. find big men with land, with money. Isn't that right, my dearest? Or little love. So the only thing here is not about, well, it's language, but it's not like a word used. It's capitalization issue, which if you know anything about German, it's got a lot of capitals for it. But it's very specific. There's always a reason for it. It surprised me because you can't hear it upon, you cannot notice this error in, did you notice an error in the text, in the German text?
No, because you don't pronounce a capitalized letter differently.
Exactly. So you don't hear it, right? Z, the word Z, you can't tell. If I say that, Z, 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 Z. Is that capitalized or uncapitalized or lowercase? You can't tell. It's the exact same word. But lowercase, it means she or they. Uppercase, it is a formal you.
Unless it's the beginning of a sentence.
Correct. But we're not talking like that. Right now, it's in the middle. So here she says, I find gut men für sie. If you're hearing it and it's following what she just said, I will have my lasses well wed. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You're saying I will find them, meaning my daughters, good husbands, good men. But if you're reading it, and not everyone, because again, unless you have studied German, pretty much guarantee you would notice the capital, but you wouldn't notice that it's wrong or incorrect. So here, which I find it funny, the pronoun, the formal you pronoun that is used, the capital S for Z, is used instead of the plural, third person plural. And so I'm not curious it's gone for so long. Well, I don't know how old the version I have in my ebook is. Yeah, I'm just curious if anyone else noticed that because I'm like, oh, the editor didn't get it. Well, the editors don't speak German or don't write German, haven't studied German typically. So it doesn't surprise me something like that, which is actually, because it's not an incorrect word if you hear it. It is just incorrect in script. So all that, there's your German lesson. Ta-da! Okay. Which will mean nothing to you unless you're reading it and you've studied German. So you're welcome. Going on. Ute then says, we now go to Salem. Where ist meine Familie? Maybe we find there a good man too. Oh, Ute, that woman. Claire looks over at the men and Myers is like, he's kind of bored. He's like scratching his arse and he's lost interest and he just returns to Claire. And he's like, Manfred is safe. Now, how did they get out of this thing? He relays how. Jamie told the thief taker that it was good luck that they had come for him, meaning Jamie and Claire and the other people who came over, because Uta wanted to make a sausage out of him. And Mr. McGillivray agrees. He's like, look, I'm having such a hard time getting enough meat for my family. Do you see my daughters and my wife? Look. So Jamie, and this man's name, by the way, is Harley Bauble. Can I tell you, has there ever been a name that sounded more like a hobbit?
Bilbo Baggins.
Besides that, because obviously that's the hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, wait, huh?
Frodo.
Bobble? That Frodo. Yeah, like Bobble, Frodo. It has the same like sound to it. So Jamie promised Bobble that he would protect him from Uta. And Bobble, in return, said he'd keep clear of Manfred. Meaning he wouldn't bug him. He wouldn't try and kidnap him. Referring to the nasty sausage on hand, Uta says, as though I would ever make such shite.
Mm-hmm.
Erica B. writes, this just had me chuckling. The idea of a sausage snob in the 18th century. Uta is one proud sausage maker. And given the glances that she's giving, Diana leaves us and this scene with the idea that Ute likes big men and she cannot lie. However, so Claire's seeing her with Robbie, and she's like what is it? And Ute's like, love, what can you do? It's just, I cannot wait to see who they cast for Uta. Not so much Rob. I mean, Robin too, fine. But Uta, dude. she's going to be a good one. I hope she's not like necessarily buxom, but I hope she's a good, solid girl. Put it that way. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, they finally get to eat breakfast. You know, this book started with Claire wanting to have breakfast. This is, I don't know how much longer in time, but she definitely is finally, they're sitting down to breakfast. Claire is about to prep for her surgery clinic. And the other doctor there that I believe she had mentioned in chapter one, his name is Murray. But meanwhile, we learn from Marsley that a man named Hobson will be traveling to New Bern in the morning. No, McLennan he'll be going elsewhere, but he doesn't know where yet until after he goes to Tryon. I think I just messed that up. Ogilvy, not McLennan, sorry. No, Ogilvy will be going elsewhere, but he doesn't know where. Maybe I'm getting that messed up. Hobson, okay, I'm just going to say. I know the first part because I gave a name. Meanwhile, we learn that from Marsley, that a man named Hobson will be traveling to New Bern in the morning. And then McLennan opens up to his audience around the fire there, the breakfast audience. We find out that he'd lost his wife and he'd had enough. And this is, of course, in the run-up to his involvement in a riot in Hillsborough. He'd put aside more than enough goods worth the tax that must be paid. But taxes have to be paid in coin. And barter wouldn't work. But no one near him in his little, not even a village, in his little cluster of homes in his community, no one had coin. So he'd sought help from neighbors to bring in his harvest, but he delayed a little bit too long. The sheriff had come by and put them out for taxes not being paid. He left his wife in their cabin and had gone to Salem to sell his stuff. But when he returned, the property had been seized and his wife had been turned out. He found her wrapped in a quilt under the tree that sheltered the graves of their four children. And it was there that she'd died. He buried her and returned to their house. But the taxmen had come again and others in his community were being put out. It was in this atmosphere that a group went to Hillsborough to seek redress from the court. And Abel had been with them. And he said that he knew as they went that they were dead men. He like, it's like, if you wonder what it was like, he's like, I know what it was like. After he tells his very sad tale, he thanked Clara for breakfast and then he walks away. Raquel M. wrote, although it was one family's story, to me it was a representation of how the people in the colonies were treated. Even in Scotland, they accepted goods and services as payment. Perhaps if there could have been mediation, where families didn't have to jump through so many hoops to survive. Knowing these people didn't have cash, and yet they made them suffer was deplorable. Were the British just trying to acquire everyone's land? I don't think so. I think as Tryon did with Jamie, they were trying to like get people to settle the land. However, they definitely wanted the money. They wanted the revenue. And if you have all the people, well, some little peons may take some gratuitous pleasure in throwing people out off their lands. The thing is, if you don't have people on those lands, you're not making money. So I don't know. It's a very difficult question. What do you think, Sam?
About what she said?
Yeah.
I didn't.
You didn't think?
No, because that's not anything I hyper-focused on in my listening. I did hyper-focus on the fact that when Jamie took the thief taker to the side, he waved a sausage in his face.
Oh my gosh. The Uta and the sausage and the, oh my goodness. So much for such a sad and sad story from Abel. It was that's what I mean. You know,
it definitely ended on a downer note. It was like, wah,
it wah. Did. It did. After having a lot of hilarity, it definitely did. And to end, Erica B. writes, having suffered from this myself with my children. This is regarding Marsley, Claire correctly guessing that Marsley had cracked nipples as she was feeding Joni. Erica B. writes, having suffered from this myself with my children, I don't envy her. I Googled the use of lanolin and didn't find anything that shows it was used in this time period. One page suggested the Greeks may have, but most common usage starts about 100 years after 1770. It does make me wonder, though, how Claire learned to extract it from the wool. It's one thing to know about it, another thing to know how to get it. And then about Abel, Erica B writes, Jesus, what a sad tale from Abel. He lost all four of his bairns, his wife, and his house. It is amazing he managed to get along as he did, for as long as he did, without telling anyone. I just can't imagine. Tear prick.
Did you add that or did she write it?
Oh, no. It's completely her. I promise. You can ask her.
You're so proud of yourself. Listen to you.
No, stop it.
infecting the masses with your made up words.
That's funny. Summer. Look, I infected the masses with my it's not a made up word. It's a made up term for you, as in shimmer. And now like everyone and their dog uses it.
That's
you need to get that
cool.
Tattoo.
Where?
I don't know. It's your body, your decision.
Well, the only place you could really get a shimmer tattoo that it would be appropriate is like a tramp stamp, and I don't got room back there.
Oh, your tramp is overstamped.
I don't have any room. I don't have any tramp room to put shimmer.
Oh, Lord. You could go. You know what you could do? You could pay to have it all lasered off and then add shimmer.
And then start over again? That sounds like the worst idea anyone has ever had.
So now, of course, I want to hear y'all listeners, it's too late for y'all. If you want to tell us what you think this episode should be named, give us an idea, but it's already done. But I'm always happy to hear it. But going into this, I thought, oh my gosh, it has to be Uta. It has to be Uta. I'm not going to use something really sad and depressing from Abel. That's like, I would never make fun of anything. And it wasn't an overall sad, like a sad themed chapter. It had everything in it. It had hilarity, nonsensical, and
German.
Oh my gosh, that was the best. Yes, I'm a little, what's the word?
They have like Francophile. What do they say for, do they have German?
I think it's
Germophobes.
I think it's Germanophile.
Deutschophile.
No, that's kind of ridiculous. Ridiculous. Oh, Lord have mercy. You'll like this. Germanophile, Wikipedia. A Germanophile, Teutonophile, or Teutophile is a person who is fond of German culture, German people, and Germany in general, or who exhibits German nationalism in spite of not even being either an ethnic German or a German citizen. The love of the German way, called Germanophilia or Teutonophilia, is the opposite of to Germanophobia. So I'm definitely not someone who exhibits German nationalism. Lord, no. I don't think I exhibit like... if anything, maybe Scottish nationalism, and I'm not a Scot. I like Germanophile better than Teutonophile or Teutophile.
Toots.
Stop it right now.
Yep.
Oh, Lord, that's our new handle, Shimmer and Toots.
That's you. That's you.
At least I'm no longer a, now you're the stripper, and I'm just nasty.
You're gassy. I'm shiny and shimmery and you're just gassy. Some would even say I glow and you're like a pig pen.
Some would even say it glows.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord, like a shimmer. Shimmer and toots. And you know how it's spelt, right?
It's like a cop movie just waiting to happen.
I know.
Once an undercover.
That's the title. Shimmer and toots.
It's an undercover. Shimmer's an undercover cop at a stripping club. Toots is working behind the bar.
Oh God! Tell me
she doesn't make
it.
Very good tips. Toots doesn't.
In general, people avoid her. How do you spell toot, Summer?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you read it. In my head, I'm hearing T-O-O-T-Z, toots.
Okay, so at least it'll...
The Z makes me fancy.
No, I'll go with the Z, but that's not how you spell the toot part.
I'm sure it's not. It's like T-E-U, like Teutonic, right? So T-E-U,
yes,
T.
Yes, yes.
I like mine
And
better.
Actually, if we want to
be...
You
can be T-E-U-T-Z. Toots.
Yes, but actually, since I do speak German, I believe it would be pronounced toits, shimmer and toits.
She likes to keep it toit.
That makes... Oh my God, that's worse.
That makes me think of That makes me think of Austin Powers with the Dutch guy, gold member, who always talked about things being toit. Keeps it toit.
I'm gonna pee myself, so I can't win either way. You either stink or you're a vaheen. Oh man,
that's not the only thing you keep tight, you weirdo.
What else? Skin.
Like your skin. Okay, now you just went into Silence of the Lambs. It puts the lotion on its skin. No, I think it's like
I'm still like, getting my voice back.
Like if you keep your figure tight, like, you know.
And you're wet on your figure.
Your figure. Like you've maintained your, you know. That's all I got. I preferred it TOOTZ, by the way.
What I can do is like I'm crying now. Name it. Oh, I can name it Shimmerin' Toots, like TOOTZ, and then I can put in parentheses TEUTZ question mark and let people decide, because it'll never be used again. Oh.
Or will it?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
When I get the name tags made for Pot Abroad, yours is going to say Toot. And mine's going to say Shimmer.
No. Speaking of which, oh my gosh, we still got to get those things. Oh my goodness.
So that was chapter 2. So join us next time and we will be discussing chapter 3, Bilious Humors, chapter 4, Wedding Gifts, and chapter 5, Riotous Unrest.
Thank you, Shimmer, and sure thing, dear listener, so much for joining us. We look forward to our next episode. This is Toots signing off.
Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.